I know, it's just after 11 o'clock.
We would like to warn listeners that the following programme contains comedy of an explicit nature, likely to cause amusement to persons of a jolly disposition. We would also like to apologise for the rather explicit actors used during the programme, and also for the explicitly verbal nature of the scripts, likely to cause reaction to ears of an oral disposition. Thank you.
We would like to apologise to listeners for that somewhat explicit apology, which may have caused confusion to listeners of a thick-as-two-short-planks disposition. The explicitly continuity announcer-like manner was essential to warn listeners of a phoning-in and complaining-in-loud-voices disposition of the explicitly explicit nature of the next programme, which could cause distress to some listeners. In fact, it's so bad we're not even going to broadcast it. Instead, we're going to show you an old film. Now, this was made in CinemaScope, and unfortunately, therefore, will not fit exactly onto your radio sets. Now, this may result in the beginnings and ends of sentences being slightly chopped off. We would like to apologise for this.
Entieth century foe, resent a inimoscope fill. Tiny on the bount. Tarring Charles Laugh and Clark Gubb.
Ice the men, bra.
Arden, Captain Blig.
Ice the men, bra.
Ardo.
Esther Christia.
Yes, cat.
This man is deaf as a poo. Oh, then, Elmy. Heir of all my ship's officers gone.
They're all in bed with Kirby, Capt.
Kirby?
No, Kirby, that new kitchen maid, Capt.
Impudent woman, who will all pay for this, all of you? I'll have you all flogged to death for this.
Hats, what's you thin?
What do you mean?
Eve decided it's Tim to get rid of you. Here, going to dump you in the Porsche of the screen that's been cut off, Blig.
Oh, wouldn't dar. Oh, wouldn't dar do that to your cat. Ow! Let go of my ah! Let go of me! Let go of me!
There will now be a short intermission.
Intermission.
And now...
Good evening. As you already know, 1977 marks the Silver Jubilee of Her Majesty the Queen. To commemorate this historic and illustrious event, the BBC are now presenting a special souvenir edition of the humorous wireless programme The Burke's Way to Dynamic Living. This special souvenir Jubilee show, transmitted on the finest quality gold leaf embossed Jubilee airwaves and broadcast at the finest quality diamond inlaid Jubilee megacycles, on finest quality gilt encrusted Jubilee VHF, will, we are sure, furnish you with a priceless comedic memento, the jokes of which you will still be able to treasure even when they are 70 years old. A week next Tuesday. And so now, as the commemorative Jubilee Japes commence, we begin with the opening credits, specially composed and read for us on this grand Jubilee programme by a finest quality Jubilee poet laureate.
Oh, golly. It's so jolly. I'm delighted to come and in this royal show appear. And even little pussies so excited. It's moving him to onomatopoeia. This year of jubilees, a time for sharing, to rid the land of all its greedy gobblers. To give my poems all a special airing, for let's be honest, they're a load of off my mind. Now with Chris Emmett, Nigel Rees, Fred Harris, and Miss Jo Kendall, let the show begin. And if you think you can write something still more trite, you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
Welcome to this special royal souvenir edition of The Berkey's Way to Dynamic Living. And first, this speech, which you're now listening to, read by finest quality me, from a finest quality hand-prepared vellum script, typed by a finest quality hand-prepared BBC secretary. And we begin with three royal jokes. Here's Patrick Litchfield. And here's the second joke.
Who was that knight I saw you with last, lady?
That was no knight. That was Brigadier Sir Fortley Damien, Phipps Willington Smorf, Petersfield Rothschild Spear, Coburg the Third. OBE. CBE, MBE, OG, MBRBE, DMBRCJRLGJBE, CRMOBDRGMBRSDMRBE, GFBLMCDRBMMMGMGRMDRGBDRMSBE and blah.
And the third joke.
My corgi's got no chin.
How does it bark?
Woof, woof.
Well, now it's time to just sit back in your armchair, rest your head on the cushion, and sip your cup of tea. And even if you're not an employee at British Leyland, just relax as we present for you a special, finest quality Royal Jubilee farce, specially commissioned by Buckingham Palace, written by Ray Cooney and John Sambo, and performed by the Whitehall Trouser Dropping Company in association with a little blonde raver with big ones, but the wife doesn't know anything about it, and poor blimey, Grandma, what are to do when the vicar finds out?
So, over now to the foyer of the Whitehall Theatre and Clifford Hushed Voice.
A very good evening to you from the foyer of the Whitehall Theatre, and from me as well. And as you join us, I'm speaking a bit like this and telling you that at this very moment the doors below us are opening to admit no less a person than that most distinguished of all distinguished guests, Her Royal Highness, Her Majesty, Johnny Quango. No, that can't be right. I think there's been a slight slip-up in the distribution of the invitations here tonight, because we appear to have a royal party headed by heavyweight wrestler Johnny Quango and not the Queen. So while we're waiting, here is a short piece of music.
Good morning, garage mechanic. Do you repair cars?
That's right, pal. £15, please, pal.
£15? What for?
Professional advice, pal.
That's a bit expensive, isn't it?
Yes. It's a bit expensive. £26, please, pal.
What for?
Professional advice, fee advice. Anything else?
Yes. Would you come and have a look? I mean, if I asked you to come and have a look at my car, but only if, how much would that cost?
£56, pal?
Phew. I see.
£97, please, pal.
What for?
The estimate, pal.
Look, this is ridiculous. All I want is for you to have a look at my car.
No, I can't do it, pal. Sorry.
You're just lazy.
I'm not lazy.
You are lazy.
I'm not lazy.
All right, prove it. Get out of that bed and come and look at my car.
Oh. All right. Sorry, pal. Can't do anything about that.
Why not?
Doesn't work properly. Doesn't work properly. Broken, isn't it? I can't do anything with inferior goods like that.
Well, can't you mend it?
Mend it? Blimey, what is this, pal? Billy Smart Sarks for a job like this?
Yes.
Damn. Well, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it, but it'll cost you £300,000.
£300,000?
Well, there's your tappets, pal. There's your tappets.
Well, how long will it take?
Well, I've got a rush on, you see.
I can't see any other cars.
No. We're very busy.
How many cars have you got to repair, then?
Pardon?
How many cars?
I've got 60 cigarettes to smoke by tomorrow morning. I'm sorry, pal, but I can't do anything for you. If you're really set on getting it mended, I can only suggest you try the vicar across the road.
Why?
Well, he does a very good service.
I beg your pardon.
He does a very good service.
Is that it, then?
Sorry, pal.
What sort of a punchline's that? I mean, surely you can do better than that. I mean, you know, I mean, something like, I got to go now, I'm only here delivering the groceries or something. I mean, anything better.
Sorry, pal. I can't get the parts for that sort of punchline. It's the Christmas rush. I'm up to my eyes in tags at the moment.
No.
I just can't afford it.
Forget it. I'm leaving.
Well, we interrupt this short piece of music to return you here to the foyer of the Whitehall Theatre, where I think I can, in fact, just now see Her Majesty coming in. Yes, she's dressed resplendently in a magnificent diamond tiara, spangled with 167 glittering jewels, and wearing a full-length sequined evening gown in powder blue, offset by a charming mink stole in radiant white, draped elegantly round her shoulders. I'm sorry, it's just a piece of grit in my eye. No, the Queen hasn't yet arrived, so, I see, yes, thank you. While we're waiting, let's hear the Bells of St. Mary's performed by the East Catford Frank Spencer Impersonators Society. We're sorry that Her Royal Highness still hasn't arrived yet for this royal farce. So in the meantime, I'm going to cry.
Well, we're sorry about the breakdown in our commentator there. We'll have him fixed as soon as possible. For the moment, though, there now follows a BBC Minority Interest television programme.
Hi. Tonight on the old grey whistle test, we got some really far-out sounds for you, including the new one from Proboscis Asparagus Disorders album. The new one, Unexpurgated Vegetative Walrus Conscience, and some really wild film, A Fat Briefcase and the Drivel Biscuit by Vita. In concert, of course, with the autopsy on Reg Critberg of 5 Acacia Gardens, Bloomsbury. Right now, though, we take a look at the blues scene. And it's great to start off with one of the truly classic Delta bluesmen, Courtshort Williamson.
Well, I woke you up this morning.
Yeah, that was great, Courtshort. Yeah, really great. And you can hear 457 of Courtshort's other numbers on the new Blue Horizon single, Second Door on the Left Revisited. Right now, it gives me extra special pleasure to welcome to the studio one of my personal rhythm and blues favorites, Deaf Boy Smedley. Hi there, Deaf Boy. Great. Great. Yeah, now, what's the number you're going to do for us tonight, Deaf Boy? Yeah. Well, far out.
Well, we interrupt this minority interest television program to return you to Clifford Hushed Voice at the Whitehall Theatre.
Well, welcome back here to the foyer, and I'm afraid that while you were away, the Queen did, in fact, arrive. Yes, and then she left again because she'd forgotten something. So, while she's getting Prince Philip, I'm now going to mingle here in this most distinguished foyer and talk to some of the many distinguished and glittering personalities who've gathered here for this auspicious occasion. Well, now let's see. Well, if it isn't Rod Hull and Emu.
Pardon?
If it isn't Rod Hull and Emu, it must be Eric Pode of Croydon.
Right, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Good evening to you, Mr. Croydon.
What?
May I compliment you on your excellent looking bow tie there?
Oh, thanks very much, mate.
Yes, yeah. Don't you think you should have put something else on as well there?
I can't afford any other clothes. I just lost my job with the Ministry of Transport.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was their chief accident black spot, you know. Then to make matters worse, my wife threw me out the flat last week.
Oh, yeah, that must have been terrible.
Yeah, it was. We live on the 24th floor. She said I wasn't fit to spit on, so now I've got to find somebody else to do it. And yesterday my granddad died.
I see, yes.
Yeah. So I've been down in the dumps.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
yes.
We couldn't afford a proper funeral. We had
to. Well, I see. Yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Croydon.
Hi, yes.
Well, Mr. Croydon, you certainly seem to be having a bad time.
Yes, thank you, yes.
Well, Mr. Croydon, thank you very much. And now, let's move on over here to the...
I had to have my cat put to sleep yesterday as well.
Yes. And now let's move
on
to...
You see, on account of it suffers from insomnia, see?
Yes, well, isn't he a panic? Now, well, who's this over here?
And you, I haven't had a thing to eat for 16 years.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, I think I can just see...
My stomach's gone back to live with its mother.
Look, will you get out of the way, you weedy little dipstick? Get out!
Well, that's just a few of the famous faces in the foyer here tonight as we await the arrival of Her Majesty the Queen. And,
Right.
So, while we're still waiting, here is another intermission.
There will now be another, not quite so short, intermission. Coming soon to this intermission, Burkitt's feature films for soccer fans. The people who brought you Alice in Sunderland, 2001, A Lutentown Homegate, Malcolm MacDonald in Jaws and the Dance of the Zombies, an analysis of West Ham's field play so far this season, now proudly present the epic football thriller of all times, Bill Shankly as Sherlock Holmes in The Hound of the Baskervilles.
It was an uncommonly dismal and freezing night in late November. Round the corner at the bakery, the bakers were slowly dropping off. Round at the cobbler's shop, the men were... Round at the cobbler's shop, the men were feeling the cold worse than anyone. I had just been out visiting a patient in a ramshackle old bed and was thinking how much quicker it would have been if I'd used a cab. That was as I returned close to the street. Ah, my dear Holmes, I perceive that you are still up then.
Aye, that I am, Watson. I am. I think I've nearly finished this case at last.
That's absolutely incredible.
It certainly is. There were 24 bottles in it when I stopped. Here, help yourself. Here, I say, Watson. Have you seen a match anywhere at all?
No.
Well, try and get along to Stamford Bridge tomorrow, then. Chelsea versus Southampton Cup today. I reckon Mike Channel will be past fit again.
Really, my dear Holmes, I wish you would refrain from continually pontificating about that awful football. You're supposed to be a private detective.
All right. Here's something that'll interest you, Jimmy. This was left behind here by some visitor while I was out. From the look of it, I'd say it belongs to a footballer who speaks with a Scottish accent, has an IQ of 12 and a half below zero, and enjoys kicking things.
What makes you think that?
Well, I don't know any other people.
My dear Holmes, I fear you are wrong. Here, let me have a look at the lace hanky and see what I can make.
Ah, that must be the visitor again now.
Mr. Holmes, I need your help. Oh, you recognize me, of course.
Centre-half for Brentford United.
What? But I am a dainty little ballet dancer.
Oh, that's quite close.
My name is Miss Marjorie Baskerville. My father, Sir Henry, and I fear that we're about to be slaughtered. What do you advise?
Well, if I were you, my little girl, I'd play Hudson and Torshak out in midfield. We'd possibly Terry Mancini, then...
Holmes, I don't think that's what she means.
Indeed, I don't, Dr. Watson. No, what we are frightened of is a gigantic hound.
Oh, well, you've nothing to worry about there, then. Nothing at all.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. In my experience, gigantic hounds have absolutely no feel for tactical ball play at all. They find it very difficult to dribble with the paws.
Holmes, will you please try and put football out of your mind just for 1 minute?
But I'm hoping to pull off a set of 8 draws this week.
That's better. Now then, Miss Baskerville, have no fear. We shall accompany you down to Dartmoor on the next train. But when we arrived at Baskerville Hall that night, we discovered to our horror that Sir Henry had already gone out.
Gone out, Frimpson? But where?
Across the old moor, ma'am.
Old moor? What does that tell you, Holmes?
A load of stupid predictions that never come true.
Exactly. I think we'd better go after him. Quick.
I only hope we're in time. Oh, my God. Did you hear that? It sounds like an awful, diabolical attack.
In that case, I think we should put Trevor Brooking in the number 10 shirt and bring up Jennings to Bradford with possibly Osgood consolidating the forward line.
Holmes, silence. Look, it's Sir Henry being savaged by the hound.
My poor, poor father. Torn apart by that ghastly, horrible great hound. Ripped limb from limb. horrifically savaged to death by that terrible evil monster. Oh, have you nothing to say, Mr. Holmes?
Well, I thought it was a reasonable result, considering we were away from home and the conditions weren't very favorable. Mind you, if we'd had Peter Shelton and, say, Kevin Keegan and Ray Clement, I think I would have put them out.
Yes, Bill Shankly in The Hound of the Baskervilles, coming soon to this intermission.
Well, now we rush you straight back to the Whitehall Theatre foyer, where apparently something is now on the verge of happening a bit.
Yes, and back here at the Whitehall Theatre foyer, the news is that the royal party has not yet arrived. We can only hope they'll make it before the end of the show, which will be upon us at any second. Oh, just a minute. Yes, I think that here they come now.
Well, that ends Lesson 13 in our amazing series of Royal Correspondence Courses Commemorate Jubilees the Beckys Way. After sending off for just 135 of our pamphlets on royal etiquette, you too could be in a position to rub shoulders with people very high up. Simply stack the books on the floor and then stand on top. In today's incredibly finest quality royal broadcast, Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett and Nigel Rees were the court jesters, and Fred Harris was the jester that got away. To commemorate the majestic script of Andrew Marshall and David Renwick, the BBC are planning to fire a 21-gun salute. And after that, producer Simon Brett of Stepney. See you next week, subject, and happy dynamic living.
The Berkis Way, with a light-hearted look there at the royal family. Thank goodness we can get away with that sort of thing these days without fear of reprisals. And now, news of programmes later today on Radio 4 at 9 o'clock.
Oh!